Censorship. It's been something that humans have felt the need to make the world a, quote, better place for generations. With censorship continuing to grow, there's two sure ways you can keep in touch with us here at DV Radio. The first is the veteran-owned and built social media platform, Sayscape. It's completely unbiased. Messages are on a rolling algorithm, which means it's almost impossible for them to be read, even by Sayscape employees. Sayscape has no way of keeping your data, and so long as you're not breaking the law, you can say whatever you feel the need to. The other way is by listening to DV Radio at dvradio.net or listening to us on podcast at podbean.com. You can share the podcast anywhere you wish, comment in the Podbean app, or on a post the podcast was published to, and let us know what your thoughts are. Without your interaction, we cannot make the shows that you want. Without your involvement, DV Radio cannot grow to other listeners and help our fellow brothers and sisters around the globe. So grab Sayscape on your iOS or Android device or go to sayscape.com. And don't forget, subscribe to DV Radio on Podbean. Censorship isn't about one or two people or companies. It's about all of us. And in a free speech society, unless you're harming someone, no one should be censored. That's sayscape.com and podbean.com. Or grab their apps on your iOS and Android devices now.
Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
Welcome to the Service Dog Show. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai, also known as PTS Dog.
And I'm your host, Scav.
I want to let the audience know, you know, Scav and I, we've worked together. We share information back and forth.
I run Scout as my service dog. He's a hearing dog, PTSD dog.
We are here to bring you news, interviews, and information about service dogs and about matters that are of interest to the service dog community.
Thank you for joining us on the Service Dog Show on DV Radio, WDVR.
Welcome back to the Service Dog Show. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai, also known as PTS Dog.
And I'm your host, Scav.
And you can hear Scout trooping around in the background. Skeeter's in here,
yeah.
Knocked out.
Yeah.
Well,
bones falling on hardwood.
Yeah, we've been on a little bit of a hiatus, and there's a couple of reasons for that. One being, I don't know about you, but I just had got to the point last year where I was done saying the same goddamn things over and over again. I really,
it was just complete and utter burnout. And
yeah,
we talked about it off air. It's just like people kept hitting us with the same damn thing over and over. And not that we don't want to answer their questions, but it's monotonous.
Yeah. It gets a little bit overwhelming when you're saying the same things 3,000 times, you know?
And I kind of felt like we were on a road trip with a bunch of kids in the back seat.
Going, are we there yet? Are we there yet?
I got to pee. Are we there yet?
Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Yeah, it really did. It felt that way. So we needed a little refresher time. Plus, you know, I don't know about anybody else, but the Rona can wear you down. The lockdowns, can we go to the restaurant? Can we not go to the restaurant? All the ridiculous, you know, rules. And I'm not going to say whether or not. Look, apparently in North Carolina, you can only catch the Rona if you buy alcohol after 9 p.m. or consume it after 10 p.m. in a establishment. Dude. But so as long as you're out of the bar by 10, you're safe. Apparently.
See, up here, I'm still pretty much free.
Yeah, well.
Our governor's cut head, but we pretty much come and go as we please. But you're familiar with where I'm at. So, you know, 7 miles I'm in Ohio, 5 miles I'm in PA.
Yeah.
And they're kind of communist in both of those states. And it's just like when I go, and I forget, you know, because I'm over here in West Virginia, it's like, holy shit, what do you mean I can't do this? Or what do you mean I can't do that?
Yeah, yeah.
So I kind of feel for you guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be quite honest, I've just sort of bunkered down at the house and, You know, I have to wear the mask to go to the VA, so that's fine. I'll wear the mask. I'm not making an anti-mask argument. I'm just saying they cause me to have panic attacks. It is a symptom of my disability, and it's a lot easier to either not go, or if I can get away with not wearing the mask so I don't freak out on somebody, I ain't wearing a mask. Honestly, I think we caught coronavirus last winter. I think we all had it in the house, and because we had some kind of a flu-type something that knocked us all on our asses for about a week. And, I mean, it knocked us out, but I don't know. I mean, I've had a couple I've been tested like 4 or 5 times and come up negative. So because of, for treatment at the VA, they had to test me. I was sick. I didn't know what it was. So I went and got a test. I was responsible. I've not shown a positive. And so I really highly suspect that I had it last winter. And
like November, December, my daughter had this really bad cough. Like it concerned me. And then it's something I never heard before. Yep. And we took her to the hospital after a while, and they come back with one of the flus, A or B. I can't remember which one.
Right.
And then my wife was feeling some kind of sickness that she's not familiar with, but she was okay. She went back and forth to work. And then me and my coworker at the time, we were both experiencing something that we couldn't shake for like almost a month. And then it went away. And then, but West Virginia never had COVID until after everybody else did, because we were the clear state for how long. But I think we were the ones that had it first.
Who knows? I mean, I think in 5 years, everybody's going to look back and at the tracking and the history of the Rona, and things are going to look very different. But
I'm out there on this interstate and I'm in these people's houses. How many times a day or how many times a week? And I've not brought it home yet. And my wife's been in the COVID wards. She's in the hospital. She sees patients every day. She's not brought her home to us.
Nevermore works at Walmart. She's
right.
But at this point in time at Walmart in a college town in North Carolina, she has to have been exposed more than 100 times.
Easily. And let's face it. Murphy is on your back and on my back. We don't have good luck.
we're both in that category of, highly susceptible.
Right. I've got issues with my lungs from the desert. I'm hitting these inhalers, wearing these masks more times than I ever had. So,
Well, so anyway, we had all of that. And then, I was ready to start recording again a couple weeks ago. And then we lost Uncle Fester. So I'd like to dedicate this season of the Service Dog Show to our friend, Paul Hagstrom, Uncle Fester from Frag Out Drag Out. Paul listened to our show too. He listened to every show. He listened to everything on DV Radio. He was a huge supporter as well as being a host. And I'm going to tell you, it was, his last wish that we go to his house and broadcast Frag Out Drag Out with him one last time. And he heard everybody talk. He heard Frosty and Oink arguing about the mute button after Nevermore and I had said, we're here with Fester. And he took his last breath. And so it was an honor to be able to be there and to grant his last wish. And I'm still mad at that son of a bitch for deciding he was going to get to Valhalla first and drink all the meat. But he was a firefighter, and he was not a veteran. He was a firefighter. And he was still our brother anyway. And his wife is Mrs. Fester. You're stuck with us. We're family now. Oh.
Yeah, she's never going to shake this crew.
Nope. She's stuck with us. So this season, the 2021 season of the Service Dog Show is dedicated to Paul Hagstrom and his memory. We are doing some changes. We're doing a little bit of format change. We are doing 10 episodes airing every other week. And that's it for the season. Why? Because trying to bang it out every week all year and be a broken record, it's killing us. It's wearing us out. Now, that gives us flexibility, though. If something happens, if something big occurs, a law is changed, a new law is introduced, something, and we need to get the information out to you, the listener, that gives us the flexibility. We can sit down and record the next day, have it in your hands that Sunday if a show's not already airing, or have a special episode the Sunday following. We'll still do Sundays at 8 p.m. That seems like a great spot to kind of anchor the week for DV Radio. Barracks Talks ends it, and the Service Dog Show begins it. So we'll still air Sundays at 8 p.m., and we will do 10 episodes. We will have the opportunity for special episodes. It also opens up the opportunity if we need to do roundtable discussions and things like that. We're going to maybe Task Dogs 2021 will be live and in person. And I fully intend to be there and to be live broadcasting from the Purina Center in outside of Salt Lake City? Not Salt Lake City. St. Louis, Missouri. St. Louis. So we'll see. We're looking forward to seeing what's that. Before we get into tonight's subject, we do also need to remember Roxy, the PTSD service dog. Mm-hmm. She succumbed to cancer, and she passed in December. Justin, we love you, brother, and I hope things are going a little bit better for you now. I know that you're still dealing with the loss, and you know that if you need anything, we're here. We're here for you.
Yeah, that one put a ripple throughout the service dog community for sure.
Definitely. Definitely. That was a tough loss. All right. Speaking of the service dog community, it's time to get down to business. We did a roundtable discussion. We did some extensive interviews and stuff all the way back in December of 2019 and into the beginning of 2020. In regards to the proposed rule changes for air travel with service dog. And the Department of Transportation finally published their final rule for air travel with a service dog in December. They announced it. It was published in January of this month. There are some changes. The biggest change being that airlines are no longer required to treat emotional support animals as service animals. So what does that mean? Well, the way it was, emotional support animals were flu-free, flew in the cabin as the same as a service dog. And the handler had the right to bring them into the cabin. You can still bring your emotional support animal in the cabin, but it has to fly as a pet now. Now, why? Why did they make that change? Well, that's real simple. Emotional support animals don't require any training. They, by simply the fact of their existence, give their owners comfort. And there's nothing wrong with that. And it is helpful in the lives of many disabled people to have emotional support animals. Don't get me wrong. However, when you take a dog and put it into the situation that it's in a airplane, lock it up in a tin can that's pressurized with 175 people, at 20,000 feet in the air, well, that's a lot of stress, especially for a dog that doesn't have any kind of training for public access. And that has created some issues on flights, people being bit, severely injured, a lot of breed selective nonsense occurred because quote unquote pit bulls bit passengers. And it just really created it. Honestly, flying in an aircraft, it was the Wild West. You didn't know what was going to happen. Was there going to be a lady with a peacock in the lobby trying to bring it as her emotional support animal? Because guess what? Emotional support animals don't have to only be dogs.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, lizards, people,
you know,
they were getting stupid. You know, they're pushing the limits of that.
Oh, absolutely. It was 100% being abused. First of all, the ACAA protects the right of, or protected the right of disabled people to take an emotional support animal with them. Not just anybody, but you had to have a disability. And people abuse that. Oh, man. Perfectly fine. People who are not disabled were lying and saying that Fifi the Wonder Poodle was an emotional support animal. They were buying doctor's letters online in order to justify taking the animal on the plane. I mean, there's just some very, very wild stuff going on.
It was almost like a challenge or a game between people, like, oh, can I get this snake on or can I get this spider on?
What can we get away with this time?
Right.
You know, we had a hamster. Someone had a hamster and the flight attendant made them flush it down the toilet in the air. That's animal cruelty. I mean, you know, this just some really ridiculous things happened and it was out of control. It was being abused and it was out of control. Now, again, I am not saying that emotional support animals do not play an important role in the lives of their disabled owners. They absolutely do. Do not get me wrong. You have an emotional support animal in your house, one of your dogs. We have Freya, Booga, she's an emotional support animal. She's not suitable to be a service animal, but she's absolutely a part of our household. Both Nevermore and I have PTSD. We're both disabled. And Boogie helps us just because she likes to cuddle. And when we're upset, there she is curled up in our lap or curled up next to us on the bed. You know?
Let's face it, animals make us feel good.
Yes, and so do not think I'm invalidating the importance of an emotional support animal. I am not. However, an emotional support animal doesn't have the training that a service dog does. They're not trained extensively for, I mean, look, Skeeter just turned 10 7 week ago. So for 8.5 years, he's been working in public. And by the way, my attitude has always been that every time we go out, we go to train. So he's got more than 8.5 years. He's got 10 years of training. I started training him to be first to be a good dog and then to be a service dog. But, you know, I started training him when he was born. So he's got 10 years of training, 10 years of training. He can handle new environments. He trusts me. He trusts me to give him guidance. He trusts me to show him how to behave because he's got all that training and experience under his belt. Your little lap dog that's never been anywhere but the lawn and the living room doesn't have that training. And taking them from an environment that is their home and throwing them into the environment of, first of all, an airport and then an airplane is encumbering that poor animal with an incredible amount of stress. It's no wonder people have been bitten when a dog doesn't have training for public access. It's no wonder. And that doesn't make people who use emotional support animals wrong. It's just a fact that there's no training required. There's no special training. And dogs that don't have training and are thrown into extremely stressful situations react by biting. They're scared. They're terrified. I'm sorry. But it's at the end of the day, it's incredibly selfish to take a dog that isn't trained to deal with that kind of stuff and drag it through that. It really is.
Got a big old lap dog just now.
Yeah. So, mine's bigger.
I bet.
We'll talk about Munchie at the end of the show. We'll talk about the Munchie at the end of the show. But
he's trying to get into the chair, and it's not going to work here, Scout.
Scout, you don't fit, buddy. All right, so the next big thing, and this pisses me off. I really feel upset about this. The Air Carriers Access Act no longer recognizes, the Department of Transportation no longer recognizes miniature horses as service animals. Now, this pisses me off because miniature horse handlers are absolutely valid. They are covered under the Americans with Disabilities Act, and several have flown. I couldn't tell you how many or how often. But one I know of who has flown is Flirty.
That one, I don't understand that law at all. Why they would, you know.
Yeah. And you know what? There have been zero. Let me count them. Zero incidents with service minis on aircraft. None.
You know, and when Flirty flew, there was national coverage on that horse.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there was absolutely no issues with that flight.
None. No issues, both up and back. So Aubrey Hensley is Flirty's handler. Good job. Good job. Outstanding that you were able to take your service animal aboard a plane with success. Well, and I really feel it pisses me off that they yanked that rug out from under you, removed that access. That really upsets me. It's not fair. Yeah. It's not.
And people ask, why service horses? Why can't everybody just use a service dog? Well, allergies.
Allergies is one. Another is, service horses are primarily used for mobility assistance. Okay. Mm-hmm. Dogs' spines are not built to carry weight while moving. Not very well.
I actually considered the fact, with you, if you were going to go the horse route or not.
No. I use Skeeter for counterbalance and a little bit of momentum pull, and he at a standstill stacked. I use him like a bench. If I end up on the ground, I can't get up without help. But if I've got Skeeter stacked in front of me, I tell him brace, and he stacks up like a show stack. That's
he's as big as a horse.
Yeah, that's as strong. He is. He's Flirty. Only outweighs him by 12 pounds. Or 13 pounds. But anyway, so he stacks up, and I place my hands one over his shoulders and one over his hips, and I can use him as a bench to get up, and it doesn't harm him. And Munchie's going to be the same way. Munchie's going to be bigger than Skeeter. Now,
Munchie's going to be close to Flirty, if not bigger.
Oh, she'll be bigger than Flirty. Yeah, she will be larger than Flirty. Flirty, I think Aubrey told me Flirty weighed 117 pounds, somewhere in the 110 to 130 range. So bigger than Skeeter, but not by much. But Munchie's going to weigh in the 170 range. So there you have it. Now, I personally have chosen never to fly with Skeeter because I'm not comfortable on a plane. I don't have enough leg room, even in an exit row. And I want to try to cram him in there with other people and stuff. That's just not fair to either of us. We would be miserable. And quite frankly, I can make it across the country in 3 days if I have to, If it's an emergency kind of thing.
I've flown so much in a military career and then with the company I'm currently with. And then it's not really fair to the dog because you know how the wait times are now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You got to show up early and then you're stuck in that damn airport. And once you're in there, you're not getting out. So where's the dog going to go to the restroom?
Yeah. And it's not that Skeeter can't hold it, because this little turkey can hold it for 12 or 13 hours if he wants to. But
yeah, but if you get there and you got to be there how many hours early, and then you're in the airport, and then your flight gets delayed.
Yeah. And
then plus your flight time, depending on where you're going, this dog could be holding it for almost a day.
Yeah. It's a matter of personal choice. If you choose to fly with your service dog, more power to you. Go for it. Do it. Please. Absolutely. Make sure your dog's trained. Make sure your dog behaves. But go for it. By all means, fly with your service dog. My personal choice, not going to do it. I don't like flying to begin with. And you're absolutely right. I didn't even get to that thought, but I spent enough time in planes getting launched and caught on aircraft carriers. I can't tell you how many hours I've spent in a helicopter. And then flying across the globe. I don't need to fly in planes anymore. It's not, I mean.
And I just like to drive. I do.
Yeah, I do too. I love to drive. I love going across the country, stopping in different places that I've never seen. Eating at little mom and pop restaurants that have cuisine I've never heard of. I love it. And Skeeter does too. Skeeter loves to travel. That, I mean, it's not my truck, it's his. So, you know, that's my personal choice. But I hate that that choice has been stripped from mini handlers. I really do. That kills me.
Some people don't have a choice, especially if you're like a business professional. If I still had to fly with my company, I'd be screwed. You know, I'd have to take Scout to Atlanta and to Chicago and all the other places, Vegas.
Yeah.
And that would kind of suck.
It would be rough on both of you. It would, you know, I'm glad. Look, we got the PTSD. We don't really want to deal with other people in tight and closed spaces anyway. You know what I'm saying? It ain't fun. It ain't fun at all. But having no choice, that really sucks for mini handlers. And I disagree with that immensely. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will wrap up our discussion of the new rules for flying. You're listening to The Service Dog Show right here on DV Radio, WDVR.
DV Radio.
Family-friendly and obscene t-shirts, we've got them. Ceramic and tin mugs, yep. Neck gaiters so you can hide your face from the CCTVs, we have some. Hoodies so you can stay warm while you listen to our dark sense of humor, you better believe it. We have all of this and more over at the DV Radio store. Just go to dvradio.net and click on the store tab to start browsing. DV Radio is free for listeners, but it isn't free to keep the record spinning. And it's mainly the hosts that pay to keep the on-air sign glowing. So if you want to help DV Radio continuing to grow, but you want to show what online radio station you listen to, head over to dvradio.net, click on the store tab, and help the veteran-owned and ran online radio station today. That's dvradio.net, and click on the store tab now.
We're back on the air.
Hey! DV Radio.
Welcome back to the Service Dog Show. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai, also known as PTS Dog.
And I'm your host, Scav.
All right, back to the new rules for flying. One thing that is outstanding is the change to the flight rules that they used to separate psychological service dogs, like a PTSD service dog, and lump them with ESAs, emotional support animals, and require that you have a doctor's note saying that you needed a service dog. So that pissed a lot of people, myself included, off, because task trained is task trained under the ADA. If the dog is trained to do work or perform tasks to assist with your disability, regardless of what the disability is, it is a service dog. Well, the ACAA separated psychiatric service dogs. That is no longer true.
Can we pause right there? Because I get a lot of confusion on my page that the people keep saying, well, that's not covered under the ADA. They need to realize that the airlines don't fall under the ADA.
That's right. They fall under the Air Carriers Access Act. And that's what we're talking about. Yeah. And that's, and you know, but that's just yet another reason why we got frustrated and went on hiatus, because we kept telling people, no, it's not the same. Not the same law. Housing doesn't fall under the ADA. It falls under the Fair Housing Act.
Mm-hmm.
However, back in, and we talked about this, we did a show about it, back in February of 2020, HUD came out with new housing guidelines that were almost identical in alignment with the Americans with Disabilities Act, including rent, you know, when you're applying for a reasonable accommodation, housing companies can only ask the two questions. They can't demand a doctor's note anymore or anything.
We haven't brought in a guest speaker for 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, you know, so the ACAA in that way is now more in alignment with the ADA. Task trained is task trained. A service dog is a service dog. Seeing eye, psychiatric, diabetes alert, hearing alert, all the same. Same playing field, just like the ADA. That's outstanding. That's great.
Now, somebody on my page mentioned that they got questioned at the airport desk about needing to fill out a paper or don't get me wrong. I'm having a hard time with my freaking brain. Imagine that. But they wanted them to fill out something, and they said that it was a service dog, and by law, they didn't have to fill it out, and they let them through. So I'm thinking that they were trying to make them fill out something for an emotional support animal.
That's possible. Yeah, that's possible. But the Air Carriers Access Act now requires that a person handling a service dog fill out a form for shorter flights. They fill out a form that simply attests to the fact that the dog is a trained service dog, that it will behave. So basically a sworn statement saying, this is my service dog. It won't bite anybody on the plane.
Correct.
Now, on longer flights, there is a second form that attests to the dog's potty training and says that the dog will either not relieve itself on the plane or will do so in a sanitary manner. So I have a problem with these forms, okay? Under the Americans with Disabilities Act, when I walk into a business, they have the right to ask me two questions. Is that a service dog required because of a disability? And what work or tasks is the dog trained to perform? Okay? When you then add a form that you have to fill out, when I answer those questions, I am attesting to or certifying my dog's training. I am certifying that that dog will behave in that place by my word. I am exercising my right to handle a service dog responsibly. Under the Air Carriers Access Act, now you have to fill out a piece of paper. What is this about? It's about liability, honestly. The reason the paper exists is because airlines don't want to be held liable if a dog does have an issue and does bite somebody. And I understand that. However, service dog handlers already, of all disabled people, Scav, when you walk into a restaurant, do you have to justify your hearing aids?
No.
But you do have to answer questions about Scout.
Correct. I don't have to, on the days when my legs bother me and I use a cane, nobody questions me on that, including the airport.
Right. So already service dog handlers are discriminated against because we're the only class of disabled people who by law have to answer questions. I understand why the questions exist, but that doesn't make it any less discriminatory. So now, if you're going to fly, you have to fill out these forms. Here's the problem with that. Back in last fall, or in the fall of 2019, when this started, when we did the roundtable, I had somebody who owned a hotel on the PTS dog page arguing that we should have to fill out the same form that they were proposing Department of Transportation for flying to rent a hotel room. And I said, absolutely not, because the whole point of the Americans with Disabilities Act is that I am treated equally, regardless of what I use to assist me with my disability, right? That's the whole point. The whole point is if you can walk into a grocery store and nobody stops you to card you, then I should be able to walk into a grocery store and nobody stop me to card me. Or make me fill out a form attesting to the fact that my dog is trained. My dog's behavior speaks for itself. I can't tell you, to this day, yesterday morning at the grocery store, a lady said, I can't believe how well behaved he is. And every time I hear that, my answer is the same. He wouldn't be much of a service dog if he wasn't.
Correct.
It's part of his job. It's part of their job. They don't understand it.
He's not your normal household dog.
He's not a pet. Munchie is learning that she's not going to be a pet. You know,
he's a working professional. I was just in our inventory control department today fixing a computer, and this woman kept looking at Scout and trying to get his attention, and he was watching that door, and she kept talking to him, and he would look at her, and then he'd look back at the door, and his job is to watch that door while I'm working on her computer.
Yeah.
And she's just like, he will not look at me. He will not pay attention to me. And I'm like, his job is not to be your buddy. His job is to watch that door. Now leave him alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
If he's not your buddy, he's not your pet.
Yep.
His job is to protect me and to watch what I can't hear.
Protect you by warning you when things are coming that you can't hear. Yeah. We gotta be careful with that word protect.
Dog.
Yeah. We have to be careful with that word protect. People misconstrue it immediately. Oh, your dog bites. No.
Yeah, because
protection is many things.
Correct.
It's not just biting. But yeah, so this form, I really don't like it. And here's why. Look, people, the Second Amendment of the Constitution guarantees the right to keep and bear arms. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. However, we have places in this country, New York, New Jersey,
Maryland,
Illinois,
Massachusetts, where it's
virtually
California.
Impossible to buy a firearm. Now, you tell me, go get a dictionary and look up shall not be infringed. But we started making quote unquote compromises, reasonable compromises. And it's gotten to the point where there are places in this country where an American citizen can't buy a gun. If that's not infringement, I don't know what is. The president-elect of the United States, who is about to be inaugurated, we're 2 days till inauguration, has already stated he's coming after guns.
Right.
He wants to infringe on our rights.
Look at the senator that said she's going to carry concealed in D.C., and the D.C. police said, no, you're not.
Yeah. Okay. Now, when you start making these reasonable compromises, and quite frankly, in the language around it, around this form, and when we're flying, is it's a reasonable compromise, that's a slippery slope. They started with reasonable compromises with gun control laws. You know what the first gun control law is? Look it up. The first gun control law was enacted in order to prevent freed slaves from owning firearms. It was a racist law. And I've said this before on this show, and I'll say it again. Racism and ableism are equally as egregious. One discriminates against someone because of the color of their skin. One discriminates against someone because of their ability, whether it is mental, psychological, or physical. And they're both wrong. Progressives in this country, if they really truly were progressive, would scream bloody murder at the removal of the right of the people to bear arms. And we're seeing that first step on that slippery slope. It's happened in this country before. It's a perfect illustration. A right has been infringed upon, and they're starting to infringe upon the right to use a service dog and be treated as an equal.
You know,
we need to be careful. We need to be wary. We need to fight.
There's a lot of things that go on in this world or in our country that I don't like. Mm-hmm. But you and I both fought so those people have the right to do them.
Yep. So we fought so that we would maintain the right to do it.
Right. So go for it. You just got to overlook it and quit being such a shithead. It's what it comes down to. You have the right to do it. That's why we're supposedly the land of the free.
Yeah, well,
supposedly.
Unless it inconveniences the government.
Let's
not get into that. We could go on for three hours about this shit. All right, so you do have to submit these forms to the airlines up to 48 hours in advance of your flight. They'll make exceptions. It says somewhere in there about exceptions for emergencies. So there is they're not going to say, well, you didn't give it the form for 48 hours in advance. You know, if I got the call that my mom is in dire straits and I need to get my ass to Oregon tonight before she passes, then I'm going to have to suck it up and fly. And they'll accommodate me. That no, they won't waive it, but they will say it's they'll waive the 48-hour period.
Okay.
So, you know. you can still now this is good. They cannot require, because you have a service dog, they cannot require physical check-in only. You can check in online just like everybody else. So there's equality. There it is, still protecting the right to equality. Okay. They can require it up to 48 hours in advance, but it says you are allowed to present it at the departure gate. So, you know, that's where your little, you know, if it's an emergency, I didn't have 48 hours warning, you know, that kind of thing. So you can submit that paperwork at the departure gate. Two only. Can't walk on the plane with five service dogs, even if they all weigh, you know, 4 pounds apiece. Two service animals. I don't have a problem with that, honestly.
You mean your blind service dog and your deaf service dog can't have service dogs?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, and no, we're not knocking service animals that have, you know, a disability. Heidi, we know we lose a great animal. Yeah. We're just saying.
Being an ass.
Yeah. All right. The airline. See, and here's where, again, people like me have a problem. It requires the service animal to fit within the handler's foot space on the aircraft. Skeeter wouldn't do that on a good day.
No.
And Munchie won't either. So that leaves me out of being able to fly with my dog. And I'm telling you right now, I ain't going anywhere without my dog. There's a reason I have a service dog.
When Flirty went, she had to request the bulkhead.
Yeah, and she had to buy a second seat. So there was space for Flirty. And that's what most handlers do, is if they have to fly, they'll buy an extra seat so that there's room. So the dog, if it's a large dog, doesn't cramp. Well, now it's the dog fits in front of you. So I don't know if it's completely eliminating the opportunity to buy the second seat, but it's making it an issue.
And that can be expensive depending on where you're going.
Yeah. Okay. So the biggest thing, the last big thing that it did is no breed restrictions.
What
Delta
do you mean?
Airlines can no longer say pit bulls can't fly on our planes. That is 100% illegal according to the Air Carriers Access Act, just like it's illegal according to the Americans with Disabilities Act.
How long do you think that's going to last?
Well, you know, don't get me started on the whole pit bull thing, because it's bullshit. Okay. Bully breed discrimination has been proven to be baseless already. Okay. It's already been proven to be nonsense. The news loves to glom onto a pit bull did this, a pit bull did that. Here's the problem. They're calling Labrador Retrievers pit bulls. They're calling Mastiffs pit bulls. They're calling everything but an American pit bull terrier a pit bull. Okay. And the fact is there is no such singular breed as pit bull. Pit bull is a breed type. There is the American Staffordshire Terrier, the American Pit Bull Terrier, the Bull Terrier. There's a couple more, but you know, these are all bully breeds. But the American Bulldog, you know, is also considered a bully. So if they saw a dog with a big blocky head, they said, that's a pit bull. You can't bring it on. Well, that's illegal now. You can't do that anymore. Again,
you fly again.
Back to the training. Back to the attestation of training. They were calling boxers, which are not bully breeds, pit bulls. They are brachycephalic breeds, and they have square heads, but they're not bullies. And they were calling them pit bulls.
Are those goofy bastards? I've not met
basically,
a mean boxer
look,
yet.
Yeah, all of that is based on media-fed fear. The media gloms onto a quote-unquote pit bull biting immediately. And that's the issue. That's big. Pit bull, pit bull, pit bull. Knock that shit off. Dog. It is a dog. A dog bit. Doesn't matter what breed.
By little dogs more than I've been bit by big dogs.
Exactly.
Who's a little yapping.
You're more likely to get bit by a chihuahua than you are
chihuahuas,
a
yeah.
bully. And you know what? If you don't believe us, go look it up. The CDC keeps records of dog bites. Look it up. You're more likely to be bit by a chihuahua than a bully breed. So, overall impression of the new rules for flying is that they're good, with the exception of excluding minis, and with the exception of forcing handlers to fill out a certification form for their service dog. I don't like that. It's the first step in a long, in a slippery slope leading to the removal of protection of our rights. Like I said, I've already had a hotelier say, well, if you have to do it to fly, you should have to do it to stay in my hotel. And the answer is no, I should not. I should be able to walk into your hotel and check in just like any other customer, regardless of if I have a service dog or not, because I'm supposed to be treated equally.
Yeah, I'm so tired of fighting with hotels, and that's the biggest problem I've had is with hotels.
You know, yeah, me too. I've had to deal with 5 or 6 different hotels. One was owned by a fellow veteran who told me that I could rent a room, but I couldn't let my service dog get on the bed. And I said, you can't tell me how to use my service dog. It's illegal. You cannot tell me what I can or cannot do with him. How's he supposed to interrupt my nightmares if he doesn't get up on the bed and wake me up? You know, you cannot. I'm sorry, folks, but doctor's office. Well, we don't want your service dog in here because we'll have to clean. That'll make us have to do extra cleaning. Mm-hmm. The fact that you're lazy is not a justifiable reason to discriminate against the service dog handler. Sorry. That's not legit.
That doesn't make me feel comfortable about using their rooms and if
they're
changing
right?
the sheets or not.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, come on. The point is that service dog handlers, by law, are supposed to be treated equally to any other person. Okay? By law. That's the whole point. Disabled people are supposed to be treated equally to any other person. That's what the whole Americans with Disabilities Act is about. And what you know what? It's funny. We're recording this on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Okay? We're recording this episode on the day that celebrates one of the greatest warriors for equality. And what we're talking about is the same kind of equality that Martin Luther King Jr. fought for, but for disability instead of the color of your skin. And you know what? The discrimination, the bigotry is just as egregious. The ableism, just as egregious as racism, just as wrong, just as amoral, folks. It's just as bad. And I don't know about you, Scav, but I didn't wear the uniform for 14 years to sit idly by and see discrimination come back.
Well, we're not sitting idly by, brother. That's why we're on this show.
We're out here educating, doing our best. Folks, that's about it. Munchie update. Where do I start with that crazy little girl?
Oh,
she's
dear
not
God.
Not very little anymore. She's pretty much Skeeter's size.
She hasn't eaten Skeeter yet?
No. She's sweetest, most gentle little thing. She and Boogie are bosom buddies. They are hilarious.
Well, them coming up together is great.
Oh, yeah. They play bitey face all day long. They chase each other around. They play tug of war with the rope toys. And they're inseparable, which is great. You know, Nevermore made a statement that's absolutely true. She said, if we didn't have Boogie, because Skeeter won't play with her, with Munchie. Skeeter will not play with her. He's a grumpy old man, and he doesn't have time and room for puppies.
He's old and ready to retire.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. So if we didn't have Boogie, Munchie would be a different dog. She'd be destructive.
Right.
Because she'd be bored because she wouldn't have anybody to play with. Boogie has been a fantastic addition to the home. Boogie, Munchie. Boogie has been fantastic for bringing Munchie into the home and giving. She's not destructive. Munchie's not true. I see stories about Mastiffs tearing this up and tearing that up. Now, she is eating the couch. But in the couch's defense, it already was all tore up. I mean, we got it for free off of Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. You know, we got it because we knew dogs would be on it. So the fact that she's been systematically chewing on the couch is neither here nor there. It was already tore up.
Three stairs on going up steps that have no, well, partial carpet on them because, you know, we got dogs.
Yeah, pupper's going to pup. I mean, you know. Yeah. So I'm not upset about the couch. But what's funny is I say two things that I never thought I'd say in my life. One is Munchie, stop eating the couch. And the other is Munchie, spit the booga out. You don't know where it's been. She could fit Freya's whole head in her mouth.
but you did the right thing. You know, when we brought Baxter, Becky's dog, in, we had Sadie, the old dog, and then we had Scout. And then Baxter, being a little pup, him and Scout are best friends because Scout was still young enough to be puppy-ish.
Yeah.
And teach Baxter the ways.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Oh, Baxter clung. And that's been, you know, again, and Munchie wants to be Skeeter's buddy so bad. It's so cute. She's like the little sister who was born 10 years after the older brother, and he can't, you know, he just doesn't have any time for her kind of thing, you know, and it's so precious. But Skeeter, now that she's about his size, I think he's still got her by about 10 pounds. She's right in the 85 to 95 pound range. Now that she's nearly his size, he's starting to become far more tolerable of her, but she's still a puppy. She is still absolutely a puppy, and so we're still dealing with puppy behaviors and puppy enthusiasm, and, you know, Skeeter's setting his ways. He just turned 10, and...
that's where our old dog Sadie is. She's over 10 now, and Skeeter's, we're starting to see that she's not going to make it much. Yeah, she might live another 2 to 5.
Oh, yeah. And that's where I'm at with Skeeter, too. I might get another 2 to 5 years out of him, but I'm not going to make him work that time.
No, but you can see the health issues coming on, too.
You can see, Skeeter's arthritis is acting up. And
every morning when I open my daughter's door, it's like, is she going to get up and come out?
Yeah.
Or am I going to go in and am I going to pick her up? You know what I mean? It's that. Every morning, you don't know what you're going to find.
Well, thank God we're not at that point with Skeeter, but he's old. He's earned his retirement. My goal is by his 11th birthday, he will be fully retired. That is my goal. And
well, you're doing the right thing.
I'm doing the best I can. You know, I'm doing what I have to do.
Yeah, we're looking at. Now, when Sadie passes, that's when I'm going to buy Scout's new replacement.
Yeah.
Because then Scout will become Alyssa's new dog. And, you know, that's when
thankfully he's bonded with Alyssa, too.
Right. That's the whole reason we're going to make this switch. You know what I mean? But he'll still be mine until the new dog's trained. But
Right. Yeah.
But he'll be old enough that he needs to.
Time to rest. Yeah, absolutely. And I owe Skeeter a retirement on a sedan chair where he's carried around by servants. You know, he has done, this dog has given me his entire life. He has been dedicated to me his entire life. I can't, you know what? The only other people that have given me that much time are my parents. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think my mom gave me as much time as Scout's given me.
Well,
that's
it is what it is. Yeah.
It's the kind of dog he is. I mean,
he's been dedicated, and I have been his mission since I figured out that he was mine. And he really is, though, like Clint Eastwood sitting on the porch going, get off my lawn. Well, it's great to be back, bro.
Oh, yeah, it sure is. It's been a long time.
It has been a minute, but we're back. Service Dog Show's back. Once again, we're going to record 10 episodes per season. It'll air every other Sunday at 8 p.m. on dvradio.net. I cannot tell you what Sunday we're starting. I haven't discussed that with Bo yet up there at the DV Radio headquarters up in the mountains in the Eagle's Nest. But it'll be sometime this month. I'm pretty sure. If it's not next Sunday, it'll be the Sunday after. If you have a topic for the show, if you have a story to share, if you would like to be a guest on the Service Dog Show, please message the page. Go to the Service Dog Show on Facebook. Message the page. If you want to know why we got so fed up with saying the same things over and over and over again, you can listen to past episodes of the Service Dog Show. DV Radio has a channel on Podbean, Stitcher, iTunes, Apple Music, good grief, anywhere you can find podcasts. Look up DV Radio, and then in the DV Radio channel or page or whatever you call it, look for the Service Dog Show. Used to be called the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. This is the beginning of the second year of the Service Dog Show. And so this has been around for almost 4 years now.
Yeah, it's been around a while.
I've been doing this for a long time. Scavs joined me last year. A little more than a year ago, hasn't it? It was fall. A year ago last fall. So we're coming up on a year and a half of the Service Dog Show. So please check out the past episodes. If you have anything that you think is relevant and pertinent and would be great to get on the show, please let us know. Contact us, message the Service Dog Show on Facebook. You can find both Scav and I on Sayscape. Mine is PTS Dog JJ on MeWe and PTS Dog on Sayscape. What's yours?
Search for Scav. You'll find me.
Okay. On Sayscape, correct?
On Sayscape, yeah.
Are you on MeWe too?
Find me on MeWe under the same thing.
All right. Okay. So you can find this in alternative locations. Or look, if you can't find us, message Bo at DV Radio. He'll get it to us.
Unfortunately, I can't answer you on Facebook in in groups until Cap after June naughty. 23rd.
That was naughty.
My wife will be watching the pages and answer for me.
There we
so
go.
JJ.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll jump in there if I can. You are listening to the Service Dog Show on dvradio.net, WDVR. Listen, folks, we do this for free. We do not get paid. We are all volunteers. Some of us put our own money into making sure that DV Radio survives. If you would like to help make sure that veterans' voices are heard, check out DV Radio on Patreon. Check out dvradio.net and click the donate button, or even contact Bo at info@dvradio.net. and ask how you can sponsor a show. We can use your help. Like I said, many of us are shelling out money out of our own pockets to help make sure DV Radio continues and that veterans' voices are heard. Well, that's it for this week on the Service Dog Show. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai, also known as PTS Dog.
And I'm your host, Scab.
And we'll catch you in 2 weeks right here on DV Radio, WDVR.
Radio.